The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome back to Mind Pump. This is a fitness comedy awesome show. Go to mindpumpradio.com. We got free workouts. Actually, what you'll find on there are our last workouts or samples of what we did last. And we also got some programs on there. I have my No BS six-pack formula. It's a workout program designed to develop a six-pack abs. You guys have your nutrition.
Nutrition survival guide.
Boom.
It's a basic, you know, starter kit for nutrition and what to focus on and, you know, really how to approach it in a safe and healthy way.
Fantastic. So on that note, I wanted to talk about a very controversial subject that it's actually controversial, not just in fitness and health. I mean, it's controversial all over the place. I want to talk about genetically modified organisms, or as most people know them by the acronym GMOs. GMOs. So I want to start by explaining what a GMO is, or what a genetically modified organism is, or in this particular case, what we're referring to. Humans have been modifying food for a very, very long time. So we've been crossbreeding things. We've been irradiating certain foods to cause certain products to come out. But GMOs are unique in the sense that we take individual genes and insert them in a laboratory into a food to give it a particular trait or benefit. So to give you an example, they'll make GMO corn, which is probably one of the biggest products out there that's GMO. Mm-hmm. And it's designed to withstand very, very heavy doses of herbicides called glyphosates. Mm-hmm. You might know one of them by its brand name, Roundup.
Yes.
So they designed these plants to take these heavy loads so that you could spray all this herbicide on them so that they don't die, but the weeds do. And supposedly it's easier for farmers to grow. And the selling point is you can grow more plants. It's cheaper. You get more, you produce more, basically more plant. So let's talk about the controversy a little bit. I don't know. What have you guys heard? Now, we're not going to go into the facts yet. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about what you hear about GMOs. What have you heard?
Well, I think a lot of people think it's like a scam. I think people think that it's like just another ploy, like no trans fat in this, or, you know, the whole salt kick that we went through, the no sodium, you know, like I feel like there's always been all these trends in nutrition, just like we talk about with working out and companies and businesses. Like there's these trends that follow nutrition where some study comes out and shows, you know, the average American and takes X amount of extra sodium, and some bias report just mm-hmm. to show some crazy amounts. And then the food industry goes, okay, we're going to slap no sodium on all these foods.
Just so you're talking about the anti-GMO movement is what you're referring to.
Yeah.
I've also heard things like GMOs are bad for you. Frankenfood, people have referred to it as, only eat organic or eat foods that are natural, quote unquote, natural,
right. Quote unquote, natural, unnatural. And there's a counterpoint to GMOs as far as like from the science perspective. So what really are we trying to do as an industrial complex is to be able to provide food for masses and masses amounts of people. Mm-hmm. So I remember some statistic that it said that, okay, everybody in population here in the United States averages about 1.5 eggs per day. Mm. So how are you going to provide 1.5 eggs for that many people?
Right. Well, you maximize production of
This is the trend, though. Like you have to think in those terms as far as quantity. Mm-hmm. So, and now this is where we're in a state now where we have excess of things, mm-hmm. but you know, how are we actually manufacturing? How are we producing these?
Well, I think the intentions with GMOs have been sold as good, and I'll say sold because I will say this. Some of the large companies that produce some of these GMOs, and I won't name any names, but one of them sounds like Monsanto, have a bad reputation. They just have a really bad reputation. Some people
as being
call,
like evil corporation,
right? And you know, here's the thing with business. Here's my opinion when it comes to companies. I don't think companies are evil. I don't think they're good. I think companies do what they're supposed to do, which is provide a product supply that makes them a profit.
Right.
However, this particular company, I almost said their name. This particular company, as well as others in the food in the huge mass produced food industry, are probably the best examples of crony capitalism that I can think of. These companies partner with government and use and influence legislators and make laws or influence laws to eliminate competition or allow themselves to compete unfairly. Because I'm all about competition. You know, companies should be able to compete with each other, let the best one win. But I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about, right? So there was this huge label GMO movement, right? In California recently.
Prop 37?
I don't remember. I think so. But it was like maybe 2 years ago where people were saying we should force these companies to label GMO.
Yes.
Well, let's a little history. GMOs were introduced into the market in the mid-90s. They didn't really start to take off until about 97. This is when corn and soy were introduced in the market. And then they exploded. And now today, if you eat a food that is packaged and is non-organic, probably about a 90% chance it's going to contain some GMO in it. That's how that's how much they penetrated the market in such a short period of time.
I think the real stat's like actually 80 or 85, but that's still fucking ridiculous.
Oh, it's in some cases, if you eat something with corn in it, and it's not organic, you pretty much can guarantee that it's going to be a GMO.
I believe that. I think it's the stats pretty much 85% is corn is GMO.
Yeah.
I've always said, don't you think this is the biggest dead giveaway? You ever drive by some cornfields?
No.
You never drove by a cornfield before?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, I was in the Midwest. So
isn't it ironic how every single one is exactly the same height and they look exactly the same?
They perfected it. I mean, so
what I'm saying, like, it's not like in nature. When do you ever see a two orange trees right next to each other grow identical?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No. Well, with GMOs, the whole labeling thing. I'll tell you what happened. Here's my problem. I'm always usually against government force. I'm pretty much against government forcing any business to do anything. I think the consumer should be the one that dictates whether a company succeeds or not. Here's the problem I have, however. With GMO, we'll use corn as an example.
Mm-hmm.
With GMO corn, they produce a product in a laboratory that they then patent. Okay, they have patented this product. Now, the law says you cannot patent nature. So I can't take a rock and say this is patented and this is now a rock that it's patent. You can't patent anything in nature. However, these companies have been allowed to patent these products, and rightly so, because they created them in a laboratory. Now, on that same token, they can call their product by the natural counterpart's name. So they've patented a product that's GMO corn, but they get to call it corn.
Mm-hmm.
So now nobody fucking knows if you're eating corn
or
GMO corn.
You don't know if it's GMO. And here, I just saw a statistic here. I was talking about GMO corn. GMO corn contains more than 18 times the safe level of glyphosate set by the EPA.
Of course. Well, and here's the thing with
that's
with
a scary statistic, though.
Well, this is interesting now. Now, this is correlation. This is not causation yet, but
right.
If you look at correlations, you look at the rate of growth of food intolerances and food allergies. Now, let me ask you guys a question. We all grew up mostly in the 90s, right? Late 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember going to class and having five fucking kids in your class with food allergies?
No.
Never.
Oh my God.
Never.
Yeah, no.
Never. You know what? My kids go to school now. I swear to God, there's classrooms that have to be peanut free, dairy free. I mean, like all allergen free, whole classrooms.
I guarantee every class has one kid at least.
Right. Since 1997, food allergies have increased by over 65%.
Yeah. Staggering.
Huge.
Staggering.
Huge. That's not evolution. Yeah. That didn't even evolutionarily happen. So there's some theories as to why that happened. But if you match up the charts of GMO foods penetrating the market and you line it up with the chart of food allergies and food intolerances, they almost match perfectly.
Yeah, because at that rate, I mean, it's so unnatural. Like, you'd have to account for all these mutations and everything that is happening with that. So, I mean, how can you... It really, like, you have to look at it from that perspective of what else is contributing to this.
Well, to be fair, GMOs are tested rigorously. They've been tested so many different times, and they've been tested safe, and the science that we currently have says that they're safe. Here's the problem. Here's the only problem I have with science. Science only knows what how to test what they know to test. Okay? So they're testing for things like toxicity. Are you going to eat GMO corn and have a toxic effect? No. They only know how to test one generation. We're going to feed these rats GMO corn for 6 months and then see what happens. We now know that genes can be expressed differently from generation to generation based upon experiences of the mother and father and based upon their lifestyle. We know this for a fact now. This is new science. Mm-hmm. We are just learning about bacterial flora in the gut. Mm-hmm. This is something we never tested for before.
Yeah, but we know it affects metabolism now.
It affects metabolism. It affects your mood. Did you know that your gut has the second highest concentration of serotonin receptors in the body?
I didn't know that until you told me.
They call that the second brain. That's why you feel crazy. Things in your gut, right? So when your gut is bad, higher levels of things like depression. So it affects your moods. It affects. It's one of the major functions of your immune system. Has to do with the gut.
What is it? 10 like for every cell you have 10. What do you call those cells for bacteria versus like a cell?
Oh well, every person is more bacteria than we have more bacterial cells.
It's 10 to 1 is the ratio.
Yeah, you have more bacterial cells than human cells. In your body. We're actually more bacteria than human if you look at it that way.
And that's a huge central point for your bacteria.
Massive, massive. So they didn't know to test for these things. Glyphosates, we know they don't affect humans like human cells, but we do know that they affect bacteria. We know this, but we just don't know what that means because we don't know what how to test it. Then there's gene transfer, which is now starting to come up. They're showing that these genes that we're inserting into these foods are starting to transfer over and fundamentally change some of the genes of bacteria. What the fuck could that mean in the future?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what that could mean. And so it's like this. Here's the truth. The reality is it's a big fucking experiment right now. Mm-hmm. It's only been around in big penetrations in the market for maybe 15 years.
Well, wasn't it bigger in England? And then it sort of traced, like, made its way more, you know, into the United States.
Well, the U.S. is the number one, we're the number one consumer and producer of GMO products. Many European countries label, they make laws saying that you have to label GMOs. As a result, those countries have lower consumption of GMOs.
Well, no shit. Yeah. Right? Well,
see, that's what pisses me off.
I wonder why this proposition was turned down.
I feel like there's a lot of people that, like, kind of know, but they don't know, you know? Like, everyone, it's gotten around enough now, everyone's like, oh, GMO, yeah, it's probably better to do organic, you know? It's kind of, but you don't, do you really think about the things that you eat habitually, right? This is where this really matters. Like, what do you eat on a regular basis? What are some of your favorite restaurant chains or places that you go to eat food? Like, asking yourself, like, how is that prepared? And how much of that is genetically modified foods that you're getting? And, like, how much artificial shit are you intaking every single day, possibly? Like,
well, do you remember for years the tobacco industry was providing studies showing how safe tobacco was? And if I took a group of people and I had them smoke
cigarettes. You pay a bunch of scientists.
Well, even forget that. Let's just say I have them smoke cigarettes every day for 3 months. Mm-hmm. At the end of my study, I'm going to say cigarettes don't cause cancer. Because it takes a fucking while for shit to happen. Now, I'm not insinuating GMOs cause cancer or anything like that. But what I am saying is that it is a massive experiment. We have had a massive explosion of autoimmune disorders. Things like Crohn's disease. Fucking irritable bowel syndrome is so common now. Food intolerances. Now everybody's going gluten-free because they have food issues and food intolerances. I mean, it's just weird shit is happening. And, you know, our kids go to school in elementary school. I see so many kids with these food allergies. It just blows my mind. Right. How did that happen? So, I mean, and we know not that the gut bacteria has to do with some of that stuff. It makes me wonder where that's coming from.
Yeah, right. How many people feed their kids like a bowl of cereal every single morning?
Shoot.
That's been the marketing piece since I was little. I mean, I don't remember not seeing that
balanced part of your breakfast. You guys are parents, so that probably
part of your day.
What is that like? What do you guys have to do for your kids? I'm curious. Like, I mean, I don't have. I'm the one.
You have to fight it. I mean, here's the thing with kids, and this is why this is so important to me personally. And you look into all these things like. Basically, like cereal or milk or all these things that were marketed so hard as healthy and now you start to look at the real causation that, you know, it's happening. And it's a constant battle, because for me, I want to instill like as many good habits as I can in my kids early, because the development is so crucial, right. Especially exactly. It's so impressionable in the beginning to where they need nutrients in order to, develop properly, yeah. and optimally. So,
yeah.
It's one of those things too, that they hook you so early, and the marketing is so like it penetrates the cartoons. Like,
well, do you guys have seen it? Like, you have crazy. Any idea how big the corn and the wheat and the dairy industry are? Do you know how massive they are? The government subsidized. They're so powerfully subsidized that they actually tried to sell us on fucking gasoline made from corn. Right. We were going to turn food into fuel, and that was somehow supposed to be awesome for the environment and everything, when in reality it was all bullshit.
It just smells like French fries.
Yeah. That's for me personally, I always try to be objective when I look at situations. I try to look at the science.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my two options. This is what I weigh out, because I have children also, and I look at, okay, so here's what I look at. On one hand, I look at the way foods that humans have been eating forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what they do and what they don't do. On the other hand, I have new foods introduced that they say are safe. However, we don't know 100% how the body metabolizes food, how it's affected. We don't know how gut flora is affected. We don't know how inflammation is affected. We don't know how autoimmune diseases are created. So it feels more like a gamble.
Yeah.
So I don't mind spending a little bit more on foods that are organic, non-GMO.
Right.
That's just my choice, my personal choice.
Yeah, and it's also seeing behavior. So for me, like, let's say, like, we're having a really hard time with my youngest. He just wants anything carbohydrate. He wants, he wants the breads, and he wants the crackers, and he wants all these things. And it's really hard for us to battle that when we're sending him off to the grandparents and they're giving him the treats and,
yeah.
And then it comes back and you're trying to instill all these really healthy habits. But you just actually see the behavior of this when he, not only that, but I also see there's a constipation aspect to it. So, he eats so many carbs that like he gets backed up.
Oh yeah.
And it hurts. And then like, we have to deal with that. And he cries and screams and, and his behavior, like when he's like,
your kid's on all hate, these, he's going to hate you.
I don't care. Day.
Dad, you were talking about me. Yeah,
listen, when he eats good, he's pretty well behaved and he's chill.
Yeah. You know what? For the listeners that are parents, I guarantee they're agreeing right now. You can clearly see a change in your child's behavior.
I bet.
Based on
it's crazy.
My kids will eat sugar and they're little shits for like a day because they ate bad. And it's like, I don't, at the moment I'd rather just give you away. And why don't you guys come back when you're better?
It's because sugar at that age is like one of us probably taking a line of cocaine right now. Dude. That's right. Probably what it's like.
It actually lights up the brain similarly when they
look. Yeah, well, it's probably that if when you're that young, you've never been introduced to it. Get it.
Like don't they actually taste their taste buds? They have like a heightened sense.
Yeah. Well, sweet is such a powerful taste for children and adults. Mm-hmm. But what's funny, we're talking about corn. They did just some studies just came out right now that compared high fructose corn syrup to sugar, and they did this in mice. Now for the unaware, high fructose corn syrup is it's a sugar just like sugar is, and what they try to say is that they're the same because they're both sugars, so both same calories per gram, it's the same thing. But studies are showing high fructose, and sugar is not good for you either, but high fructose corn syrup was associated with higher rates of inflammation, higher rates of just poor health. So sugar was actually better than high fructose corn syrup. Now, all your soft drinks in America, they're all flavored with high fructose. As a matter of fact, it's cheaper than sugar because of subsidies. So most things that are sweet are flavored with high fructose corn syrup. And they're trying to change the name now. If you look on the back of products, it won't say that anymore. It'll just say fructose.
How do we explain aspartame? How does that still exist in our foods?
Well, what's funny is, so again, aspartame, sucralose, all these artificial sweeteners are safe according to studies, because we only know certain things to test. So are they toxic? No. Are they going to cause? Are you going to die in 6 months by ingesting them? No.
Right.
But lo and behold, years
low
later,
doses.
Well, aspartame's been around for a while now. All of a sudden, we're noticing, holy shit, these people consuming these sugar-free drinks are also getting a higher risk for diabetes. How is this possible? It's not affecting their blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chemical that's supposed to just go through the body, and yet it's giving them.
But this diabetes. Is why, yeah, this is a point why people need to understand like diet, like zero or diet or something that they're drinking as far as a soda goes. Like mm-hmm. these are still at, you're still at the same risk.
Isn't this the discussion kind of like what we had with if it fits for your macros guy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what they found with this, with the artificial sweeteners, it fundamentally altered gut
flora. Why don't you share that story with the listeners? With that guy?
What happened? Oh well, I had it. You know, it's funny. I had this debate. We actually, me and Adam kind of tag teamed on this debate online because we're dicks, and someone disagrees with.
I actually like. Okay, so
we call in the troops
before you get him pretty good right here. I actually like the kid because I like a kid. That is, first of all, he's intelligent. He had an intelligent debate.
Oh, he's a smart kid.
Yeah. You know, I'm saying, like, I have no patience for someone who's just going to, like, you know, talk shit and just, he wasn't like that. You know, he'll debate. He was giving you back studies left and right mm-hmm. and stuff like that and trying to back up what he was trying to say. Lots of great points, really smart too. But there's just
his stuff stance that was all purely on a stubborn sense.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff too that none of us know because right. there hasn't been studies long enough. We haven't had, we're creating things. That we can only test for so long that it's only existed for 4 or 5 years. You can't test for right. what does it do 20 years down the road?
Right. You know? Or how does it affect your offspring? You know what's funny? Mm-hmm. Mothers who are, while they're pregnant in stressful situations, it will the genes passed on to the child are the same because they're still from the mother and the father. However, the way the genes are expressed are different. And mm-hmm. the children will be born and they'll be more susceptible to stressful situations. They're in a heightened state of stress. And this makes perfect fucking sense. That a fetus in the womb is going to try to evolve to its environment that it's being born into.
Right.
Okay. So what does that mean? Well, shit. What about what she eats? Mm-hmm. What about mm-hmm. what the father ate when he, you know, produced the sperm cells? So these are all what ifs.
So impressionable.
These are all what ifs, and they're big what ifs. You know. So anyway, with this guy that me and Adam were tag teaming. So this kid, he posts a picture. And God, I'm such a dick online, but he posts a picture of like it was like two donuts and I don't know some it was like Cocoa Puffs and two donuts or some shit
hot
like that.
Hot dog and
yeah, and he's like, "This is my
peanut blanket.
This is my pre-workout meal, and it fits my macros, and you know, awesome, I'm healthy or whatever." And so I got into it with him, and I'm like, "Listen, that's a horrible message that you're sending people." And he's trying to explain that no, my fats, carbohydrates, and proteins are within my ranges, so it's perfectly fine. And I was telling him, listen, it's not the same. You know, if you eat your macros coming from, you know, let's say all you ate were meal replacements and you had perfect macros, you're not going to be as healthy as if you ate whole foods.
Right.
You're just not going to. Do I have the science to back that up? Well, there's some studies here and there, but it's also common sense. I think most people can agree with me.
It's common sense.
That if you eat, you know, if all your calories are coming from these processed foods that are in packages that have, you know, a shelf life of 5 years, you're not going to be as healthy as if you get the same macros, quote unquote.
And that's just it. We're starting to slowly see little bits of things, like getting to your gut flora.
Talk
like,
to us in 10
we're
years.
We're starting and to see things discussion. Come out that are like, but we haven't linked it yet. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Here, another one we just talked about off the air was food rotation. You know, you look at these guys on Instagram and on Facebook and YouTube that are, you know, planning out their meals. And
that's huge in my business.
They're like meal prep. And it's like seven of exactly the same thing. So like tilapia, you know, asparagus and rice or whatever. And it's exactly the same seven
times.
It's so
huge right now because there's all these businesses popping up that are delivery services now, like crazy.
I've seen that.
Every week there's like a new delivery service now because it's a booming industry right now for these athletes just to pay it. They do it for a good price. They buy all these meat and stuff all
bulk. Because it is definitely like a labor-intensive thing for
these people. Yeah, but it's like a three basic thing, you know. Like
it's all the same.
Yeah, it's and you're just like, you're not rotating your food around and getting different colors and
yeah, you're not getting like, your phytonutrients like it's not, you know, well balanced at that point as far as your micro
right. And there's also nutrients. Enzymes that you end up utilizing or depleting in the system due mm-hmm. to certain foods, and others you might not, and then you promote certain gut flora and you kill others off. Food rotation is very important for overall health. Now you have to eat like radically different, like, you know, zebra meat one day and, you know, bison the next day and ostrich the next. But if you just
I've never tried that would be interesting.
Zebra meat?
Yeah,
zebra meat. I'll eat it.
Sounds
zebra.
Good.
Yeah. But yeah. if you eat, you know, generally change your foods from here, you know, from one thing to the next, and you stick to like maybe 4 or 5 types of foods, you're probably rotating enough. But eating the same thing every single time is not only sounds fucking miserable, but that's also not good for you.
You guys, I even rotate like how I eat chicken. So like maybe for a couple of weeks, I'd be eating like chicken breasts, and I'm getting a lot of my fat from like a steak or something like that later on in my day. Well, then when I stay on my course, I'll flip flop and I'll get chicken thighs and get my fat from my chickens, yeah, and then reduce and go bison instead of steak, something that's a leaner meat. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I'm like staying within my nutrients where I want to be and some of that. But then you're getting different benefits, yeah, from, you know, the different fats and different foods. Like, you know, mm-hmm, those are always little ways that you can also rotate too. You doesn't have to be so crazy and dynamic like Sal's saying, where you zebra meat, you
get alligator,
yeah, every rotate all kinds, you know, just, yeah, keep it, you know, like guessing, like everything else. And we talk about working out, everything.
Well, I think, you know, number one, yes, rotate your food, but let's look at the big picture, right? Of course, it's not going to replace eating, you know, within your calories. It's not going to replace, like, if you eat too much food, you're going to get fat. I don't care how healthy your diet is.
If you're in a surplus, it's just math.
Yeah, and it's always healthy. It's always healthy to not eat too much. Even if you eat shitty food, it's healthier to eat less shitty food than it is to eat more shitty food.
And there's all kinds of studies saying that we should actually be living in a deficit, right? We should be...
For longevity.
Yeah, for longevity.
Maybe not for performance, but definitely for longevity. Yeah, right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you're eating, you know, I guess the takeaway from this whole conversation that we're having, number one, I definitely recommend trying to eat non-GMO organic foods. I don't have the science to support the benefits of it. However, the science is emerging. Mm-hmm. And again, my case comes from the cronyism that comes from those companies. I just don't support companies that don't compete on the market like they should. So if you're an asshole, I'm not going to buy your products. And number two, we just don't know. So I'm going to take the safe bet. I'm not going to gamble with the one that we don't really quite know yet. Number three, rotate your foods. And number four, don't eat more than you need to. And I think you're kind of good, right?
Yeah, you're pretty much good. I mean, having a general distrust of the food that you're eating in general is how I feel. Like, you know, coming from a big corporation and company.
Yeah.
Just look at who's really looking out for your health.
You know, it's funny too, because we're in fitness, God, you know, a lot of people in our industry, a third of their meals every day are extremely processed bars or shakes.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about processed foods, ladies and gentlemen, we're not just talking about a box of Pop-Tarts. It's also that bar. Mm-hmm. That you eat. That's extremely processed
food. Which is really just a candy bar.
Okay, so what I had a chance to do, which was really cool. Now, and I don't know the science behind it, but I did a show where when I dieted down, I did 100% all food, all natural, organic, and all the way through. And then I did a show where I actually introduced and just let myself, when I needed a shake or I needed a bar, I wasn't so strict about always making sure I was getting it all from food. And not even going from 100% over to artificial like bars and shakes. I mean, maybe introducing it once, maybe twice in a day, tops ever. You could see a total difference on my physique.
You know what's funny? You hear a lot of these coaches too, telling their athletes no shakes and no bars.
Yeah.
When they're going up to a show, right?
Yeah.
So if it really is all about the macros, why would they even say that?
Yep.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stick with that. So, and think about this. Look, you want to talk about artificial sweeteners? That protein drink that you have every single fucking day for the last 10 years, that's probably flavored artificially. It's probably got sucralose in it.
Hey, can I say, yep. Justin? I've been doing that. Did I tell you that I ordered his whole?
My supplement mix.
Yeah, yeah. Supplement mix.
His cocktail. Champions.
All raw stuff. I've been pretty consistent with it, dude. I love it, dude.
Oh, how? No, so.
I feel it.
So for the listeners, we had an episode about pre-workout shakes or pre-workout formulas.
And I mentioned I would love to break it down like Sal does, because Sal does a really cool thing, which is he takes...
I take individual amino acids, and so you get the right dose of each. There's no fillers, no flavors. It tastes like shit, but you get what? How did you feel when you took it the first time?
The very first sip I took, I actually texted you. Remember? I said, what the fuck is this shit, bro? And you're like, dude, it's not supposed to taste good. It's supposed to be fucking great for you. I'm like, oh, great fucking point, dude. And it tastes like lime and water. You know what I'm saying? Just a real weird taste. You know, like lime. Like
that was the citrulline. That was the citrulline.
Yeah, that's all you taste, right?
How about the effects in your workouts?
Oh, yeah, no, great. I can tell, like, exactly. I know my timing. Like, I literally, when I head to my car to the gym, like, that's the perfect timing, because as soon as I get to the gym, like, instant focus and instant fucking energy like right away.
Or do you get better pumps? Do you notice recovery, all that stuff?
Oh yeah, no. And then my recovery time's been great too.
Excellent.
I mean, I just because I've never been that regimen to break all the raw ingredients down, actually preload it, time it, and then time it on the way out my post actual and actually break down the dextrose like that. Like I've never,
We needed dextrose.
Yeah. Dextrose.
You know what we need to do? We need to, just put this together in a short, formula, write it out for people, let them get it for free on our site.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Yeah. That'd be helpful.
All right. We'll do that. We'll do that for you guys.
One of the things I talked about before, and if you guys haven't heard before, we've talked about, I'm not a big fan of supplements. None of us really are and stuff like that. And the main thing wasn't because it's because what we're talking about right now, all the artificial shit that's in it.
Yeah.
That's the problem with a lot of these things.
Just
so
the marketing behind
there's,
it. More
there's
than
things that have benefit. I mean, we all utilize, whey protein. We all utilize things like that in our, mm-hmm. in our diet and branched chain amino acids.
Do you guys think
we do it from a raw standpoint?
Now I do take protein powder. I don't know if I can name their product here, but I've talked about it a couple times on my Instagram. Do you guys think it would be beneficial if we listed also a couple proteins that we think, that we actually think are good in terms of, because they're not,
quality
natural
wise.
Quality.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do that too. Let's put that all together for them.
Yeah.
All right. Beautiful.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.